You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and today I am chatting with Michael Griffiths, who is joining me from the ends of the earth. No, from the southern hemisphere in Australia, where he is gloating because while it's winter here where I am recording, he's enjoying summer. So Michael is a multi-time business owner. He's shed himself of, I think, six of the seven businesses he's owned, and is here today. He's going to be talking about a fascinating topic, this idea that he introduced to me recently, which he refers to as extraordinary moments in business, and how those extraordinary moments, when you create them, can have a hugely positive effect on your business growth, your retention of clients, and so much more. So we're going to dive into all of that in just a moment. But first, welcome, Michael.
David, absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having us, and great to be with everyone.
Indeed. So, okay, I brought up this concept of extraordinary moments, which I'd love you to define, but then if you wouldn't mind sort of telling me a bit about how you got to the point where this was really at the core of your understanding and beliefs about how to grow business, that would be really, you know, fascinating.
Yeah, perfect. So we might actually flip it.
Okay.
And the latter will make more sense to the former as such. So here we were, teacher by trade, got out of teaching because I got sick of the lazy teachers, and I started my first business. It was a tutoring centre. We provided tutors to people's places. So anyways, we grew all of our businesses through referrals, through our networks, through partnerships. And it's just what we sort of did naturally. And a few years back, three odd years back, I started getting into the brain chemicals and the neuroscience and the hardwiring of humans to go, why do we actually do what we do? Like, why do people feel compelled to buy from us or stay with us or be loyal to us or trust us more or bond with us greater? There's got to be something else to it. And that's when we started to realize that everything that I sort of did naturally, there was actually a bit of science behind it, and we're all hardwired to respond in particular ways. So as I looked further and further, I went, well, when you sort of become more of these extraordinary moments within business, like moments where people go like, wow, I didn't expect that to happen, because we're so used to, I suppose, just bland. We're being conditioned to, we order something and we get this boring confirmation email, or we book an appointment and we get this boring SMS text message. And it's just like, it's not hard to stand out when you do something sort of extraordinary where someone just goes, ha, wow, I didn't expect that to happen. And then what do they go and do? They go and share that moment with everybody else over the next couple of days, going, oh, you won't believe what just happened to me. So in essence, what we have the ability to do is create these stories that everyone can share about how great an experience was with a particular business, rather than just hoping that it happens. And I had this story, which it's a good 2 years ago that I've been sharing it with, but it happened 20 years ago to the actual person. It didn't even happen to me. And it was like, this person was flying Singapore Airlines from Australia to Singapore, and they're in business class, and they got a rock in their salad. Now, obviously, you're not supposed to have a rock in your salad, especially when you're flying at the pointy end of the plane.
Yeah.
And so what do you expect? You expect the person to be really apologetic and the cabin leader to come down and offer you the nicest champagne and replace your salad and all the rest of it. And that happened. And it wasn't until they got to Singapore in an hour getting to the hotel, within an hour, and the head of Singapore Airlines, not the marketing person, not the customer service person, the head of Singapore Airlines called and said, I am so sorry. I heard about what happened on your flight. We've already refunded all your flights. We've done this. We hope you have the most amazing time in Singapore, and we look forward to taking you home when you're ready. That's when you start to go, I didn't expect that to happen. Now, who knows how many times the person where this actually happened to has shared the story, let alone me sharing the story at least probably 1,000 times. Think about what that's done to the Singapore Airline brand. Think about what that's done as a story where people have started to go, what? I've got a choice of flying them or them. And I remember this particular story that I was just told. See, I just don't think we think about this enough to how can we be more extraordinary within our business, which then increases our referrals and our client retention and our loyalty and just the amount of word of mouth that we could get just simply by having this way of thinking. So that's where all of it's come about.
I love that story. Now, I should point out quickly here that in that situation, it was a problem and how the business reacted or responded to the problem. But it doesn't necessarily have to be that. In fact, usually I'm going to assume what you're teaching is how to be proactive and not reactive with these extraordinary moments.
100%. And it very much is a way of being and a way of thinking. So for most people, let's just take a simple thing which happens to every single person that's listening. You get a new client come on board. So what do you do to this new client? Well, most people focus on how do I just deliver good results, maybe even great results? And they focus on those sorts of processes, but they don't focus on how am I going to make the person feel that they're now part of our family. And now I've used that word very much on purpose because most people don't even see their clients as part of their family. Mm-hmm. Most people just see them as another client. It's transaction language versus actually being a particular way where it's like, how do I make this person somebody who just becomes walking, talking, ranting, raving ambassador and billboard for us for life? And if you have that way of thinking, well, your actions and what you do becomes really different from the very first moment. So, yeah, we can take that around our clients, but we can also then take that a step further into how do we start relationships with prospects? How do we do things with our team, with contractors, with distributors? It really goes across every facet of your business.
Yeah, we teach, as you already know, we teach this when we are working with businesses as what we refer to it as surprise, delight, and wow. Or I've started to call it programmatic over delivery, because the idea, at least the way that I see this, is that it is a step in the relationship process that you have with individuals. And I remember you and I were on a Zoom call a week or two back, and the very first thing that you did wasn't the typical banter at the beginning of a, you know, get to know you kind of chat. It was an observation about something in my environment and questions about it, and then sort of shared experiences about that particular subject that could be, you know, may or may not be programmatic on your end, but it is a way to win over the interest of the person, have somebody let their guard down because you're not, you know, in a situation where you're trying to necessarily get something out of them. You're simply, you know, having an enjoyable chat. So I assume that this is best done. You sort of said a way of being, but best done in a intentional and consistent manner.
Yeah, so true. And I suppose the word that we use is being very strategic and deliberate, but doing it in a way that it's just how you want to be also. It's very authentic. And I think authentic is sort of overused right now of being authentic because most people are therefore trying to be something that they're not.
Yeah.
Where in essence, it sort of has to be your way of living. like there was a really early on where I created this habit of, hey, buy, if you're going to get a book. So for example, I've recently got the book Winning from Tim Grover, who sort of worked with Michael Jordan and Dwayne Wade and Kobe Bryant and so forth. Well, as soon as I read the book, I'm like, this is amazing. I went and got 10 more copies, because then every day I think about who in my network. I don't just think about it from a client point of view or a prospect point of view. I think about who in my space can I just write on a little post-it note. I don't even need a proper card. On a post-it note and just go, hey, read this, thought of you, thought you might love it, and put it in the mail to them.
Yeah.
And most people will say, and if you follow anything like the book Giftology or Never Lose a Client Again from Joe Coleman and so forth, they're doing it from a point of view of a tactic to then be able to make someone feel a particular way. Well, yeah, as a tactic, sure. But how about we just be that way? Because if you like that normally, imagine how else your way of thinking would be to actually just be more extraordinary than going, I'm doing this because someone told me to get this end result. And there's a huge difference between one level of the spectrum in terms of being a particular way versus doing a tactic to get an outcome. So, yes, but it's all strategic.
I'm curious now that you've pointed this out, you know, as we think about it, when we're working with a business, we're really trying to figure out, okay, what are those things you can be doing tactically, as you just, you know, pointed out, to be able to continue the relationship or get a reduction in your churn rate from clients or get people excited about their relationship with you so that they'll spend more money with you or they'll send people your way, right? That's the function of a lot of this. But what I haven't really considered until you just made this point is that for a business, your goal here, as you've articulated, is to get them to embrace this approach so fully that it is part of who they are as individuals within the business. That I imagine can be a challenge for some people and some businesses.
Without a doubt. And I had recorded something earlier this morning, which is part of our sort of our social content for today, around right side up thinking and upside down thinking. So I posed a simple question. How do you put a giraffe in a fridge? And for most people, they'll think, well, I've got to buy a bigger fridge, or how do I get a commercial fridge, or how do I chop the giraffe in half, or how do I fold the giraffe up, or because our survival brain needs to find the logical answer. It goes into the cortex brain, where what would a kid say? Open the fridge and stick it in and close it. Mm-hmm. And that's actually the right answer. Just open the fridge, stick it in and close it. That's how you put a giraffe in the fridge. We make things so much harder than what they need to be, and we get ourselves in the way because of how we're being conditioned to think. So then we'll pose the next question. How do you put the elephant in the fridge? And half the people would go, well, just open the door and stick it in. So they've learned something where I go, well, no, not quite. You got to take the giraffe out first. So you got to open the door, take the giraffe out, then put the elephant in and close the door. So then let's go a step further. The Lion King is holding this massive party in the jungle. There's only one animal that can't attend. Who is it? It has to be the elephant because it's stuck in the fridge. So it's like simple little things that like kids would just instantly be able to give you those sorts of answers because they haven't had the decades and decades and decades of being conditioned to dumb right side up thinking, where really what we want is the upside down thinking. And so you're right, it is really difficult for a lot of people because they're conditioned to right side up thinking, which unfortunately probably isn't helping them, and it's helping them sort of keep themselves in their own way because they make things harder than what it is. And I suppose I put this as I draw a triangle. And sort of at the red level of the triangle down the bottom is this transactional being, where everything you do is transaction focused. Well, I get it. It's the hunter mentality in all of us. We're growing up to survive. We've got to be hunters to survive. Transactional mentality is inbred in all of us. Mm-hmm. However, that's going to never help you grow a business. So the next level up in the yellow zone is what we call process-driven. And that's where most people are. They're in this process of, how do I do this thing to get this outcome? And that's what I would call right-side-up thinking. But it doesn't help you. It keeps you stuck in just simply process, process, process. Mm. So then the next level up in the green zone is what we call sort of leader-driven, where we're focused more on connection or relationship. But then this final tip of the triangle, the super green zone, is what we call exponential. And that's where it's about how we've changed our mindset to being upside down thinking, where really there are no rules. If you want to reach out to somebody, reach out to somebody. If you want to make someone feel good, then make them feel good. If you want to start a relationship with somebody to be a referral source or to become a, then just reach out and say what you need to say. I think we're just caught up, especially these days, in just what tactic can I use to trick someone? And it's just like, no, you don't need to. How about you just be a decent human being and actually just go about fostering trust, loyalty, and bonds with people? And you'll be amazed at how many other people actually want to be your clients, want to talk about you, want to share you, want to promote you, want to help you. Isn't business all just simply about relationships?
Yeah, I love that. As you were talking about those two different green zones, and particularly the leadership piece of it, it reminded me of this book that I read years ago by a famous, he was then a famous New York restaurateur. Now he's all across the U.S. and I think, you know, even in some other countries with his Shake Shack brand. But a guy named Danny Meyer, I don't know if you know of him. And he had written this book called Setting the Table, which was all about how it's best, well, he's in the hospitality industry. And there's a lot of different functions within the hospitality industry, particularly, you know, in restaurants where you're in front of the house, back of the house, etc., where finding somebody to work in a role, you're usually looking for somebody with great experience. And his leadership approach to staffing his restaurants was actually not about experience. It was about the person and whether they had the right worldview, whether they put hospitality first. And he was of the opinion that you could always teach them how to do the job. And that's what I had in my mind as you were sort of talking about that, because it's a lot easier, it's a lot faster to get to what you're describing in terms of this being a fully embraced function of a business when you start with the right personality and worldview.
100%. And it's how we hire every single person in our organization. I don't care about your CV. I don't care about what qualifications you got. I don't care about whether you went to college or not. I care about your mindset, your values, and you as a person, because if I'm doing my job, I'll teach you everything. So anyone in a marketing role, I don't want you to have done marketing before. I just want you to be an amazing people person and I'll teach you the rest. So 100%, totally agree with it.
All right. I want to talk a little bit about some practical applications, because we've been sort of hovering above the surface. Let's land and give some examples. Now, that initial example that you gave of the airline, that may or may not have been sort of an internal system in the organization. But I'm curious, you know, you work with a lot of people in the consulting space and business leadership. And I'm sort of curious to understand how a business that has not done what you're talking about starts to consider it and find the right, approach to changing their interaction, changing their behavior. and then makes it a consistent activity. What is the process to go through to sort of embrace all of this?
Yeah. So I think the first part is really understand what we call the limbic part of the brain. So we sort of go through, we've got sort of 9 key projects that a business focuses on. And the first part is their own thinking. So the limbic part of the brain, just quickly and not being sciencey, controls all human behavior and is only feeling based. So you can't actually, the limbic part of the brain right now is not actually understanding any words that I'm saying. That's the boring, logical, analytical part of the brain that's understanding that. The limbic part of the brain right now is giving you this feeling. Hey, I love his passion. I love his excitement. I love, like, you won't be able to put it into words. Or it might be, he's a complete moron. I don't know why I'm still listening after 20 minutes. But, like, whatever it is that you say is happening over in the wrong part of the brain that doesn't actually create human behavior. Mm-hmm. So that's the first thing we've got to understand is that part. Then the second part is understanding, how do we actually deepen our connection through the stories that we are able to share? And for most people, I think Simon Sinek's Golden Circles is such a powerful model in that most people start with what they do, because they can, you'd hope as a business, they'd understand what they do. Then the next layer in is how you do it. Half the people actually really understand how they do it. But then they get into the why you do it. And very few people can actually explain why you do it. Well, if you want to actually get someone excited about doing things with you, they've got to understand why you do what you do, because that actually taps into the feeling. And therefore, so we've got to be able to deepen our stories that we get other people to be able to share. Then we've got to be able to chemicalize our communication, as I call it. Like every aspect, from an email you send out to a voicemail message to your email signature to your social media descriptions to your website to the way you send letters, everything has the ability to either create positive chemicals or a negative chemical. I'll just quickly go through them. You can look them up on Google. So you've got dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin are the 3 positive brain chemicals that as humans we need every single day. So whether you love the beach, you love the snow, you love sports, you love the arts, you love whatever it is that you love, you keep going back to, not because you love it, because your brain has that hit of dopamine or serotonin or oxytocin that makes it feel good. So imagine that you could actually make your prospects, your social networks, the networking group that you go to, your clients, your contractors, your team, everyone around you, imagine that you could actually influence the way they feel by simply chemicalizing your communication with them. That's what you have at your fingertips. The negative one is cortisol, the stress hormone. So when you send an invoice, I don't know too many people who are excited to get your invoice. Mm-hmm. So what happens naturally? Cortisol. But how do you then mix it with a hit of dopamine or a hit of serotonin? That comes down to the language that you use and the way you write things. So they're the sort of the first 3 that we focus in on around what we call inspirational thinking. Then it's about, hey, you've got to fill your pipeline. You've got to be able to nurture your pipeline in a specific way. It really scares me to think that most people focus on who's ready to buy from me right now. And if they don't buy from me, they just forget about them. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, no. I think it took someone 7 years once to be able to come back and buy from us. And they're still a client sort of 3 years on. Now, if we had forgotten about them, then, hey, there's hundreds of thousands of dollars that our business would not have got. But that's most people's thinking because, again, they're down in that transactional process-driven way of being. So how are we going to fill our pipeline in terms of our organic ways, referrals, word of mouth, partnerships, rather than having to spend money on paid ads? How are we going to nurture those people and deepen the relationship? See, to me, nurturing is just taking someone from a, I am not ready, to I'm nearly ready, to, hey, can we see if there's a fit right now? situations. Like there's three types of people, and you just have to deepen your relationship, and that's what moves them to being a, hey, can we see if we're ready right now type of person. Then you've got your how you enroll somebody. I hate the word convert for service providers. Mm-hmm. It's not about converting. It's about how do we enroll a client for life? And therefore, we need to, the first 30 days are huge. I remember someone telling me who does actually strategic gifting, funny enough, that their first 30 days went like, we get an order, we send them a confirmation email, we keep them updated with what's going on from the warehouse, we send them a text when we're about to ship it out, and then we do a follow-up call to make sure that they get it. And like, it's so process driven. Mm-hmm. And that's what most people are. They're like, how do I follow the process? I went, oh, that's great. But how extraordinary is that? Like, that you're just doing what you should be doing anyway. Like, that's just what a good business should do.
Yeah.
You're not being anything above and beyond. You're not creating this bond or this loyalty because of how you're making them feel. You're just literally doing really what someone would expect you to do. And it was like a huge slap on the face, and their mouth dropped and went, ha, okay, I get it. We're there's no different to everybody else. So I think there's so much scope that people, even if they just focus on that little project of what do you do in the first 30 days when someone becomes a new client, not from a process, tick the box, your system, but from a, how am I purposely making them feel a particular way?
Yeah.
See, I hear people say, well, someone can't refer until they've been with you for months and months and months and months and months. Nah, that's wrong. Someone could refer me literally within minutes, because referring actually, much to most people's disbelief, is actually not about whether they get a great result from you. Like, yes, they should, and I'm going to take that as a given that they do. People refer because of the emotional feeling that they have towards you. That's it. Huh. So anyone that wants to open a door, promote you, share you, like you think about you and I, David, and when we were with Ken, is like, hey, how about you come jump on our podcast? And you were like, hey, how about you come and jump on our podcast? Well, it was only simply because of how each person made the other person feel and the attachment and bond that we created. It wasn't because of a process or a tick the box or I feel like I need to help one person today. There's my random act of kindness. It was simply because of those things that we're talking about in terms of how we made each other feel. We resonated with each other. We respected each other. We were inspired by each other. And unless those three things happen, nothing else happens within your business. So the way you get people to enroll, you've got to make sure that those three things are constantly happening day after day, week after week, month after month. And that's how you have a walking, talking, ranting, raving customer for life rather than just for 12 months or 6 months or your 12-week course, whatever it happens to be. So they're the six around inspirational strategy. And then inspirational experiences are the last three. How do you create deliberate feels? Every moment within your business, you can deliberately create a feeling to the people around your business. And we just don't give it enough thought. Mm-hmm. So example around that is that most people this time of year, what do? Oh, we better send out Christmas cards or a gift. Well, why just do it once a year? Like if it was good enough to make them feel a particular way at Christmas time, why aren't you going to do it in February? Why won't you do it in July? Why won't you do it in September? I actually think sending Christmas gifts are probably some of the worst times to send things.
Yeah.
Because you're doing it to tick a box rather than you're doing it deliberately to create a feeling. And if that's why you're doing it, then you should also be doing it three more times throughout the year.
Michael, did we ever tell you about the cards that we send out to folks?
No.
We actually send out six times a year cards for holidays that are, well, you know, national whatever days that are not big days. So I think we had like National Bike to Work Day or National Plant a Flower Day. And so we'll find some kooky image that we, you know, find online. We slap it on the front of a card. Ken and I have one of those dorky pictures of the two of us with him towering over me on the inside. And we have some little sort of punny thing that we wrote inside the card. And those are the types of things that for us, we will get people sending us an email or calling us up and thanking us for sending them a card.
Yeah.
And I imagine that's the type of feeling that, that you're talking about, a business can have the ability to create in someone.
100%. And they're random. They're like, people care more that you made an effort than anything else. We had clients who go, well, for our, I slapped them straight away. For our A clients, we want to spend this much money. And for our B clients, we want to spend this much money. And our C, and I went, what? So every client's not just as important to you. There's our first problem, that you don't value every single client. Why did you take them on? They shouldn't be a client if you don't see them as all as valuable as each other. And then it was about the price point rather than the actual making them feel a particular way. So that changed very quickly. And from this day forward, everybody is seen the same way. And funny enough, everybody is pretty happy as their client rather than, oh, I'm not an A client, so therefore I don't know you, your business, being in business with you very much. Like, it's just ridiculous. Sending little messages. Five messages a day. Hope you have an amazing day. Hey, was just thinking of you the other day. How are things going? Mm-hmm. Like, it's not hard to do, which then just simply, and it doesn't matter if you get a response or not, you create a particular hit of brain chemical as soon as you do it. That's how, in essence, client retention goes through the roof if you just did that alone, because now your clients actually realize that you care about them a little bit rather than just simply you're there to take their money. So
I know that there's a couple more pieces here, and I'd love for you to be able to share them with us, but probably not on this episode because we've run out of time. But there's a lot of this great detail on your website, including a fabulous like half-hour video where you go through a lot of what you're explaining here that people can find. And I think before we wrap up and we tell them where that website is, maybe you want to take a quick minute to explain what it is that you and your organization do.
Yeah. And that website certainly is going to explain it. So I probably don't even need a minute. In essence, let's put it down to just simply helping transform client referrals, client retention, word of mouth opportunities. In the end, it's business growth. When I look at why does someone want referrals, it's not because they want referrals. They want more clients. Why do they want more clients? Because they either want more money, more impact, more freedom, more security, whatever that is. That's what we're about, being able to help someone achieve that by getting them 100 new clients every single year, retaining them for longer, and really just standing out of their marketplace because they activate extraordinary moments throughout, moments that people remember and moments that people share. And that's what we're all about.
Excellent. Well, for folks to find more of the detail behind the work that you do and to watch that great video, they can head on over to Michael Griffiths. I'll make sure that it's properly spelled and linked in the show notes, .com.au. Is that correct?
Spot on, 100%.
All right. Well, Michael Griffiths, thanks so very much for hanging out and sharing your wisdom and what you've uncovered, discovering this and then researching it further and now teaching the folks that you work with how to implement it into their businesses.
Absolute pleasure, David. Always fun hanging out with you and hopefully the listeners just take one or two things and go smash your next 12 months.
Fantastic. Well, folks, you have been listening to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Thanks for hanging out with us, and I hope to see you back here again real soon. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.